welcome to This Versus That, Making Wedding Decisions with Kelly McWilliams. This podcast is for you if you're making a wedding decision and want to know what to consider before saying I do to all the things that will make your wedding experience a great one. I'm your host, Kelly McWilliams, and I'm so glad to be a part of your wedding planning journey. In each episode, you can count on me and my expert wedding co-hosts to give you everything it takes to make the best decisions for the wedding that you're dreaming of. I cannot tell you how often I hear, I would like to have color flowers and greenery, all the greenery. Or we would like greenery with some flowers in it. Or can I just have greenery? I love greenery. Well, there's a lot more to it, guys. So much more. And so in this episode, I am talking to my dear friend, Brian, who's up in the panhandle. We just did a wonderful wedding together last spring. And in that wedding, of course, we had a mix of floral and greenery. But it's just so funny to us that so often our clients will come to us and just say how much they adore and love greenery. And they, often, not all the time, but often they're not saying it because they love it so much. They're saying it because for some reason they think it's less expensive. And well, sometimes it is. You know what? Let me just stop. Let me go ahead and introduce you to Brian, and then you'll hear the episode and understand exactly what we're talking about. Brian Watson co-owns Murdy Blue, a floral-focused event design studio that services clients along Florida's Emerald Coast and beyond. His experience in flowers and design started 30 years ago after college, where he studied arts and digital and imaging arts. Brian created Murdy Blue with his husband 11 years ago and has seen fads come and go with couples from nearly every background. Brian and his team create weddings and events for clientele that love and enjoy flowers and want them to be a standout. And that I can attest to because he blew me away with his talents. So let's go ahead and talk about everything that I just said and then some. Clearly, I'm excited about this episode and I hope that you will be too. Okay, let's bring on Brian. So one thing I want to talk about before we jump into talking about greenery versus flowers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I do, because at our last wedding together, you did something that I was blown away by. You had all of the blooms in water tubes versus floral foam.
Yes.
And now that I've been educated and understand why that practice is becoming more prevalent, I think it's something that our couples would like to know about and should know about. And
yes,
you'll be able to ask that question when they're speaking to their floral designers. So can you explain kind of why there's a difference between the two and why it's important, and even just like that these are the methods that floral installations and things like that
sure
happen.
I mean, the most important concern for us is the environment, since we have, I mean, the floral industry has a huge impact on the environment. So whatever we can do to help make it more or less of a negative impact, the better. So floral foam is something that is considered to be a microplastic at some point in its life or decomposition, and therefore gets into every system in our natural world. So we decided to cut that out of our repertoire of things that we use and to figure out a system to do all of these large installations without the use of floral foam as one. Everything goes into armatures on these picks of water, little mini vases of water that pick into this beautiful armature of greenery and whatnot that we use. So that's the basic of it.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that I am now educated on this, because I didn't know, until last year. I do have a question. Does that affect the price on the end?
I have not changed my pricing because of it, because the foam, the plastic, the supplies either way tend to even out as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. The labor is more intensive. It requires more hands, bigger teams to set that up.
I had a feeling.
So where it may have taken just two people to do, say, a 10-foot floral ring over a dance floor, now it takes a team of three or four with a supporting cast of one or two to help get flowers tubed to certain lengths because we create layers that way and all that fun stuff.
Did you have to learn new ways to, like, you're cutting to different lengths now or, So it was a whole new process for you, really, when you switched that whole new method.
Which I'm a nerd for new systems, so I just dive right in first and enjoy it all. So,
okay. Well, I want to thank you and appreciate you for, like, bringing that to my attention. I didn't know this beforehand.
Welcome.
No one brought it up. And I think that now that I know, I've seen and noticed it more often. So I didn't even know that this was something that was, like, a trending change amongst floral designers.
I'm sure there is even such a thing as floral foam shaming at this point. So I won't get into
that. Yeah. But I feel like it's new to our couples. I mean, if it's new to me.
Sure it is. Yeah. Why would you be aware?
Yeah, absolutely. And if the environment is something that's really important to them, as it should be, it's something to consider, like maybe a question to be asked.
It's all part
Can
of
I ask
future,
this one more question about it before we move on?
Yeah.
And I know that that's the way that your company is already, like, moved to that direction.
Yeah.
Is it something that couples should be able to go to a designer and say, I prefer use of water tubes versus foam?
Or just to request that no floral foam be used and let that be to the designer how they want to set up their system to attack that issue.
And then they can say, okay, yes, but it restricts us to this because maybe they don't have the knowledge of how to do that or something like that. Okay. But it is something that any of our couples should feel comfortable asking about, like what their process is or
absolutely
make that request.
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. So now we'll go on to talk about the thing we're supposed to.
Okay. Flowers and greenery. Yeah.
Flowers and greenery. I feel like always in these episodes, it's so great to, like, tackle one at a time and then the pros and cons of each individually. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Which one do you want to talk about first? Do you want
Let's
to talk
about flowers. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Great. So you go ahead, dig right in and I'll follow up with you.
Okay. So pros, I guess, for flowers would be more obviously for color and just a certain innate romance that comes out of using flowers. They're very fluffy, romantic, pretty, and they just ooze everything that you want a wedding to ooze as far as visual romance. I mean, it just really does the trick for that. But
go ahead.
You can get into trouble with cost in the same manner. It tends, the more flowers you use, the more expensive any given piece would be, of course. There is that discussion whether flowers and greenery or, one is more expensive than the other. Of course, flowers are more expensive than, say, certain greenery.
Certain greenery.
Yeah.
Certain blooms.
Yes.
Would you not say?
Yeah. I mean, it just depends. Yeah.
I definitely think where the benefit to blooms are, I feel like personally, when I'm designing, that you have a little bit more flexibility in your styles when blooms are included.
Yes.
Like you have far more opportunity, not even just with color. Like, I really kind of feel like there's variations in greens, of course, but nothing like you have with blooms.
Yes.
Like actual flowers. So if there's even with shades of white, because, everyone's like, I want white and green. Well, within blooms, there's 25 different colors of white. Am I right?
Some are buttery, some are peachy, some are blushy, some are almost lavendery white, some are almost blue. They're so white. So, there's all kinds of shades and nuance there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I think that's definite pro for, that's two pros for blooms.
Right.
Is that you've got color option.
Yes.
Like so much color option.
Yeah.
And flexibility in just what you're doing. Like it just, sure. You know, and I think that blooms also can really define a sort clean line look, yeah. A modern look,
yes.
Yeah. A romantic look. I feel like there's only situations with greenery. I don't feel like you can do as much with those. I mean,
true.
You still can. There's some.
You can.
I feel like there's just more.
It's a more limited repertoire, it feels like, with greenery, yeah. Where you're playing. I mean, in the overall sense of the design for using greenery, you would end up relying on linens and candles and vases and drapery for all the color that right. You may be bringing into that space.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But flowers, you can just do it. You can have, you know, an event, you know, a whiteout event, basically, where everything's white, and then you bring in color, and it's like instant celebration.
Yeah.
So, with the flowers.
Striking difference. Yeah. Striking difference.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the negatives of blooms.
Yeah.
I can really only think of a few. I can tell you my big one is, I feel like they don't last as long, most of them.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes they don't last as long. Sometimes they hate the heat. Many of, you know,
that's pretty much what I was saying.
Yeah, they hate the heat. So if you're outdoors, be aware of that, certainly, that greenery is going to hold up to that sort of situation better. Mm-hmm. But I think greenery versus flowers, I feel like you should be loving whatever you're choosing. So don't just choose greenery because it's cheaper. Choose greenery because it's going to work the best for your celebration, your event.
Yeah.
And all of that.
With flowers, another hard part I feel like that I've learned from working with people like you, the experts in this, is seasonality somewhat does play a role.
Yes.
Far more than greenery. Am I right?
True. Yes.
Okay.
Most of the time. Yeah.
Especially. Can you explain to everyone how seasonality really plays a role? Because you know how like on all like websites and magazines are all like, get what is in season. Well, it's not exactly that because we have this whole thing called the earth where things grow in different places at different times. Can you explain that a little bit? Because I'm so fully against that whole line that people read over and over that says, choose what's in season. Because depending on where you're at, there may or may not be season. Those things may not grow there locally. Brian, explain that because I think it's like a big thing to learn.
I mean, I get it. A lot of couples want what they want and they want certain blossoms, but some blossoms don't bloom all the time. Some things aren't available all the time. Plus, what you get when you buy or you use seasonal blooms is a more cost-effective design. You also get something that gives you a sense of season so that you can go look back at your photos and say, oh, obviously that was a beautiful summer wedding. If you have certain grasses and little blooms of, you know, everything that comes out in summer, as opposed to spring or winter, you can even get away with certain looks that are very drastically different from everything else. So that plays into it and it can give you even more meaning. More intentional meaning to your event, and it just holds better to your heart, I think, in my experience.
Yeah. So what we can say for sure is, in general, blooms make using actual flowers. I always call them blooms. I don't know why, but flowers. They are a bit more costly than greenery. But we know that it also allows for more flexibility and it allows for within styles and within colors, you know, instead of relying on the other things at your wedding.
Right.
Is there any other pros or cons that you can think to actual flowers?
I think that flowers, I mean, in addition to seasonality, the choices that are made can also give you a sense of place. So if you're in the Northeast, you can, like, hydrangeas bloom in the summertime like crazy. in Massachusetts on Martha's Vineyard. So, you know, having a wedding that's full of beautiful hydrangea up there just connects immediately to the landscape that you're in. So right. if you can do that, it gives you even more meaning. So I feel like maybe I'm drawing a through line here where the more seasonality, the more local, the more in touch with your local environment, the more meaning your event's going to have to you. And that's something beyond price and beyond just a visual appeal sometimes. So
I think you have to absolutely consider though that there are some places where flowers don't grow. Florida.
Yeah. We have daisies in the summer. We have a few liatris. Yeah.
But let me tell you, we've greenery everywhere. Pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So keep that in mind, folks. So depending on where your wedding is at, and you know, so often couples will come to us and be like, peonies are my favorite flower. And they're in season in June, so they're gonna be
they're March in season June, still, yeah. May.
Okay. But that's towards the end, am I right? So those flowers don't necessarily grow where you're having your wedding. And so that's where your floral designer or florist is like having everything sent in internationally from other locations. Brian, that's pretty much always.
Yes.
These days, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, for us, or just the way that I've done things for years, is that I would bring in whatever I could locally just for interest and that seasonality and local feeling. And then there are staples that I just bring in to almost every design unless it's prohibitive, like spray roses or white hydrangea or white stock or depending on the color scheme. But those certain staples inevitably get imported in because they're not, unless they're growing here in, say, March or a certain time of year, then I won't get them locally. And it's rare to see those certain things.
Yeah, because if you're you know, in the mountains of Denver or, you know, Colorado, let's say the mountains of Colorado, I don't know how many flowers are actually growing there, you know. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
And doesn't mean that you have to stick with, again, just whatever is there. So that, again, that kind of ties back to what, you know, what I was saying, that there are some things that are just aren't natural to that location, but could be in the season of the time of year.
Yes.
Just know that that is coming from somewhere else.
Yeah.
But if there's an opportunity for your floral, like if you go to your floral designer and say, I would really love to use something that is, you know, from this location that, you know, it, what was it you saying before? Connects to the environment.
Local.
That's already
it's
there.
Locally grown. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Local and seasonal.
It just might restrict, you know, what you have available to you. So you may not be able to have a garden style wedding if you're not in a place that has gardens, or it might just be a typical, like everywhere's got gardens, of course, but like it might not be the garden aesthetic that you're thinking of.
No. I mean, there are couples that are open to whatever, and we've sourced nothing but locally grown flowers. Earlier this summer, we did a wedding this way, and then also in the same month, we did one that almost everything had to be sourced from out of the area. We brought in what we could. So, I mean, it's just not... The industry locally hasn't expanded enough to be able to do that, I would say. So, yeah, but everything's available all the time. It's a matter of price and environmental impact and all of that. So,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay, let's talk about greenery.
Ah, yes. I love greenery.
Okay, good. Well, why? Why do you love greenery?
It can be a support for everything else that you're doing with flowers, like our installations are usually. Our armatures are usually wrapped in some kind of greenery, whether it's, you know, Jackson vine or green huck or anything like that. We use that to get everything set up. We bag it, we refrigerate it, and then we bring it on site, hang it all up, and then start.
So when you say support for your armatures, what is that?
So like the armature, the support for all of that, that is the armature and support is basically anything that's going to create the basic shape for your installation. So like a ring, is a big piece of truss that's wrapped in chicken wire and stuffed with greenery or twigs just to give some tooth to what's going into it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So they can, so the greenery in those cases is supporting the blooms.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. The they're blooms like, in their water tubes. Yeah.
Yeah. So the filler, basically.
At its very basic level, it is a filler with some intention to, you know, depending on how wild or organic we want to get, then we can start playing with greenery for the sake of greenery, where we have nice long pieces of greenery branches like Eleagnus or tree branches that look really cool just to give drama and all of that. So greenery does that really well when sometimes flowers just can't do that. So
yeah. So greenery though can be the star of the show.
Yes.
Oh, or yes. It can make the blooms the star. Like they can, like it makes that, like they're the contrast there that you need to show off blooms.
Yeah.
Blooms on their own can look great.
Oh yeah.
You know, just all flower, but they, you know, the greenery can, you know, break it apart so that you see all of the different kinds of blooms that you're, because without it, it's kind of hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be. I mean, I've gone through this phase where I love to take all the greenery out of any event, like just take it all out and just do all floral arrangements, take the leaves off of each stem of flower and arrange centerpieces that are just nothing but floral petals. Texture and petals, which is beautiful, but you have to have the budget to support that, of course. Right?
It's significantly different, isn't it?
Yes. And it's a beautiful, beautiful look. But yeah, you really get into using a lot of stems at once. I think most notable, the way that greenery has been turning into the star lately is this last few years of tropical everything.
Yeah.
That's where greenery starts to shine a lot.
Well, with both of us being here, even we could not be farther apart in Florida, really, from each other.
Opposite corners.
But we're clearly, we have, it's a benefit to us. But I think greenery is one of the things, and you tell me, pretty much around the world, you're going to be able to find those easily, like in different varieties.
Yes.
So here, clearly we have this, and the whole greenery is a tropical, and that tropical feeling. I feel like people use not just in tropical locations.
Right.
Like that is just a great trend right now.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, so that you can say, I'm having a garden style wedding. Well, it can be tropical garden.
Yeah.
It can be English garden. Like
you can mix it up. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Another thing that I think is a bonus to greenery, Brian, is that there are, while we were just saying flowers give you so much variety in like their colors, that's also true for greenery.
Yeah, there's lots of nuance there. There's lots of shades of green, whether they're yellow greens or that sort of blue green, glaucous blue that is kind of gray silvery. There's, I mean, there's just variegated stripes of white and green. And then there's, of course, dark green, lime green, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. I mean, it goes on and on. And then of course it comes in long blades of grass or small little collections of leaves and ferny leaves. And yeah, I mean, you can just go there and find ways to highlight the difference in texture.
Let me ask you this, and you may or may not know this answer. And now I'm so curious. If someone wanted to have a wedding that was far more greenery and wanted to do some inspiration research on this, to see different types, where would you direct them to go? Like to do that? Like, would you say go onto Pinterest or Instagram and do a search on greenery wedding? Or
that's, I mean, honestly, that is the easiest place to go find differences in greenery, because I've found pins of just full selections of greenery that you can, you know, reserve for your wedding. This greenery here, this greenery chart, basically. So there is a lot of information on Pinterest about it. And then, of course, they link to articles and all of that, too, that give you more information.
Do you find couples come to you thinking they could go just a full greenery route, maybe just accenting with blooms.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, or do you find that people are more coming with like an overall vision?
I find that
of bloom.
Yes. I feel like it depends on the event. Mm-hmm. I feel like rehearsals are much more prone to be using just greenery.
Ah.
Especially here for us, I feel like it's much more prone to doing that. And then there are couples that have come to us just for their wedding to have nothing but greenery, which is, it's a fun challenge. I mean, you get to play around with structure and creating focus that way without flowers. So
we determined that greenery can be a little less expensive.
Yes.
And what are some ways do you think that, and all of this is top of my head, Brian, because you know I don't prepare questions for this, that we can well, be, and I
love your on-the-fly questions. It's great.
Well, no, I do it on purpose because, you know, right. We have better conversations the way more comes out.
Sure.
If we had a wedding where we wanted greenery to really be the star.
Yes.
What do we, like, with flowers, you use greenery to enhance the flowers. What do we use? What are some of the options that we can use to make greenery the star if it's not the blooms? If it's not blooms.
Sure.
Like, there can still be blooms there. We can still have some flowers. But if we want greenery to be the star, what other things would you suggest to incorporate?
I think it's virtually the same as flowers. So when we're creating focal points to lead your eye into a tent through a tentrance, or lead your eye through that tentrance to a bar arrangement or to a focal piece over the dance floor, I think that you just have to make them bold enough, first of all, and dramatic enough to catch your eye and to be effective that way. But using those same series of encounters for the guests visually, I think is the way to do that.
What about things like candlelight? Do you think that can be enough to support just a greenery?
Candlelight's great. I mean, I think that when you get into pin spotting and washing, that helps support it a lot better, and it gives it makes the dimensionality of all of that texture pop. So it really comes out that way.
I'm sorry, because I think so many things are running through my head right now. Is it more helpful? And I definitely think couples should come in and like let the expert be the expert on this. Like,
sure.
But I'm curious. When it comes to doing a wedding that is far more greenery, where that is the star, would you, as a designer, go for a mix of greenery, like different textures, styles, colors? Or are you thinking, or is it that like going with just one can be like so incredible?
Yeah.
I'm so curious about this right now.
Yeah,
I've never attempted it, like to just do one thing.
I would love to do just one thing and really do it. I think that would be a beautiful, beautiful display. I think it can be done. Absolutely. Yes.
Have you
had
that opportunity yet that you can remember? I know we've had hundreds of weddings behind us, but
I feel like there was one wedding where we did nothing but wild smilax and spray roses. So it wasn't just greenery, but those were the two elements that we used. Even the bouquet was that. Everything was that.
Oh, wow.
It was really fun, kind of loose, kind of wild.
Yeah.
But, you know, even the arbor for the ceremony was, it was a little bit more tailored, but still had this wild feeling to it. But yeah, so you can limit me to just one element and I'd be happy to explore that and get into it and really exploit it. Yeah.
It's a great challenge, I think.
Yeah.
Like I would be willing to take that challenge on.
I think I'm going to have to do that.
Here's one thing I can say, guys, about greenery that does not work. And it's so hard because, you know, we have clients. I hate to say no to people.
Right.
But, you know,
of course.
Again, like what I said a second ago, let your expert be an expert and guide you. Here's one tip I can give you that I know Brian's going to agree with.
Yeah.
Where you can't use greenery is where just greenery, or even where greenery is kind of the star, is against greenery. Meaning that if you're getting married in front of the hedge, doing a greenery arbor gets you nowhere.
You've lost all that money immediately just to have that. It's just no contrast. Yeah.
No.
You have to focus on contrast at that point. What greenery you use has to really pop. But obviously the easiest thing is white is going to pop the best against that green.
Yeah. Or colory. Or color.
Yeah. Or color. Yeah. Something. So I've made that mistake many years ago and I thought, never again. I saw the photos afterwards and I was, nope.
Yeah, because when you're sitting there, it might feel okay. But I guess also depth might make a little bit of a difference.
Sure.
But it would have to be, I feel like, be so significant.
But the couple's photos are what endure. So I try to come from that place when I'm thinking about how this is going to endure in memory and all of that. So,
yeah. And when you go to meet with your floral designer guys, if you bring inspiration photos and they are seeing from you that consistency of these images of these arbors or hoopas or, anything like that, or even just, arrangements on pedestals that are that kind of situation with greenery. But then they are in their head going, but aren't you getting married at this site? And they, your expert that's in front of you is going to be able to say, okay, you're bringing me all of these images. And yes, they are 100% beautiful. Can we do them? Yes. Here's why they do or do not work with where you're getting married.
Yeah.
So we've got to change one or the other.
Sure.
We change the angle that we're getting married at, something.
Yeah. Greenery is going to do the best against a bright and airy background.
Yes, absolutely. Or
beach. Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of situation where there's nothing else to compete, it tends to pop the best. Yeah.
I think a lot of what we're saying continues on the path of we're outside.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like we should probably talk about sometimes when things are inside because while both Brian and I are in Florida and we do so many destination weddings that we are outside. It's such a huge amount of the time that we're planning weddings.
Yes.
We don't want to leave out those of you who are getting married indoors because we do know. So let's talk about that because indoors, there's so much more flexibility in that we don't have to worry about wind. We don't have to worry so much about when things are going to get installed because nothing's going to die necessarily in those situations. And
it's glorious, especially when it's hot. It's great to be indoors. Yeah.
Yes, it really is. It really is. So, but there's also something to be said about blooms versus greenery in a ballroom because it's not even just ballrooms, but there's other indoor locations as well, like aviaries and
gorgeous. Yeah.
Museums and things like that, that, need to be considered. In museums museums in particular, I know can have a lot of restrictions when it comes to how things are installed and what is allowed.
Right.
Like some of them don't allow water at all. And so that completely change. What do you do in those situations, Brian? If someone were to come to say, I know you haven't probably been up against that, probably if ever, but I know that is a big thing in some, like DC, I'm sure this happens a lot for those kinds of things. So if you were not allowed to have a water situation, what would the options be for blooms or greenery?
If there's no water, the flowers are not going to be happy at all.
Obviously,
unless we're using things that are really tough that can handle a no water situation, like some protea or anthurium or tropical things tend to hold up much better without a water source. Of course, and then succulents and some greenery, of course, does really well too without any source of water.
That's what my question was. Maybe when you're indoors, if it is a no water situation, greenery might be the way to go.
And plants, honestly, if you need something that's really tall. Yeah. Plants do a lot of great drama that way. Trees.
I love trees. I love a good tree wedding.
Yeah.
All day long.
Absolutely.
What about, we haven't even brought about this, like branches?
Yeah.
Things like all that. branches was a trend a long time ago.
Are great.
Remember? The branches with the candles dripping off of them.
Oh, yes.
We don't have to go back to that, just by the way, everybody.
I'll never forget the...
Don't think I'm suggesting it.
The tables with the 12-foot birch trees with candles hanging off of them. Mm-hmm. Matte watercolor. Mm-hmm.
And no petals. Yeah.
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 No flowers.
But I'm all about a whole tree.
Yeah.
I am all about, like, tree-lined aisles and trees within.
Yeah.
Like, oh, in a ballroom. Oh, or an arboretum. You know, it, like, should be able to, like, have a full actual garden in there.
It fills the space. It does
Absolutely.
Fill the space. And you
Absolutely.
Don't need flowers to do that indoors either. I mean, you can
pick
and choose what's important to you. And that's how you go about it. I mean, it's all about what's important to you and what you enjoy the most. Like for me, I would love trees in a big indoor space. I think that would just soothe me immediately indoors. So.
And I think where we could lose a lot of people on that, like, why would I do that? Imagine, so I'm going to set the tone in your heads right now. And Brian, you can throw out what comes to your head too. I imagine walking into, I would say the kind of like, what's the movie? Midnight Garden of
Good and Evil?
Yeah. So a dimly lit ballroom, big, huge 8-10 foot trees all over the place. Here, we make the trees the star, but with the appropriate lighting, hitting these trees at the most amazing places.
Yes.
And then tables with tons of candlelight, you know, all over the place. Wow. Right?
I'm right there. I mean, it's enough. Flowers are just the icing on top if you want flowers there, but you don't have to have them. You don't have to have them.
But you can add them as the accents there. You know, it could be like at every place setting, there is a bloom on the table, you know, or just a couple of blooms around the candlelight. But in this case, you can actually make the trees a star. And then they can be planted afterwards or go back to the farm that they came from.
There
are companies that do this.
Yeah.
You know, so while I would not suggest to you that you go find a company that has just trees and like think that they're just going to be brought in and this is all going to go over well, that's not going to happen, folks. Still go to your floral designer unless there is actually a wedding company that does foliage. There are some of those. They do exist.
Yes.
But they're few and far between.
There's one in New Orleans. I think the closest one is New Orleans to us. So.
There's one in Naples. Yeah.
That's close.
Just, you know, as large as the state of Florida is, if the two of us can think of two, but only one of them's in Florida.
Right.
They're few and far between. Yeah. You're going to be best off going to your floral designer because if they don't even have one in the pocket, they're most easily going to find that for you and incorporate floral in the, you know, bloomings and flowers.
Yeah.
The way that it should to enhance that whole feeling.
Absolutely. So we've taken trees and added to them to make them even more grand. So
if you
find something that, well, we had a wedding last October, amazingly enough. Mm-hmm. And we requested a couple trees be brought in for a center of the room, basically. And they unfortunately weathered part of Hurricane Sally. And the salt spray had burned all the leaves off the trees. So we had to come in. We put the trees in place and then we just added foliage to it, layered it on to make it look natural. So you can recreate a tree even if you don't have one. So it just takes some bare branches, honestly, and some good old Smilax. Yeah.
Yeah. You could even, let's say you wanted to have an orange grove somewhere, you know. You can actually bring in orange trees or you can have some other, like a faux tree can be built. Am I right? Like
absolutely.
Where you guys build the trunk and the branches and add oranges or lemons as
lemon
accents.
Leaves and all that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All that stuff.
Yeah. We did a great wedding once. Actually, I think it was a large rehearsal dinner under a tent one time that was, we wanted to feel like Tuscany and we did mini rosemary bushes and olive trees, baby olive trees, all up and down. I don't think we had any blooms, and it was amazing. And what we did is we just leaned on color, like you said in the beginning, on the linens and the papers and the table details.
So that's
another thing is that when you're, you know, when you're doing floral and tablescape design, is that your floral designer or your wedding planner designer can help lead you in how to accent those kinds of things within your tablescape to like enhance either the blooms or the greenery, you know. So they're still the stars if that's what you want them to
do.
Some people come to us and they're like, I really want the place setting to be the star of this table. And, you know, Brian, who is an amazing designer, who you try to stay away from full wedding planning. Am I right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
No, we don't logistical planning at all or the other parts. Everything pretty, we're all in. Yeah, we love it.
Yeah, everything pretty. You always make it pretty, don't you?
I try. Certainly. Absolutely. Yeah.
You do. So I again, going back to like being indoors, there's the flexibility there is you have so many more options there with the greenery and the blooms. Do you feel like there are pros and cons indoors for either of those that we haven't discussed that you can think of, other than like a no water situation?
No water for
sure. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
No water. Yeah. Greenery is going to be your winner there.
Yeah. What about like hanging things? Is there like...
Greenery takes less water. I mean, it's less heavy. It's easier to hang. It's easier. Therefore, it takes less labor, I mean, you may not need, like we would use, electrical motorized hoists to get our armatures into the air, where if it's just greenery, we can just take it up by hand and click it into place. So it's not a full crew of everything.
Do you feel like lighting is going to be more important with flowers over greenery, or what do you think? Or
I feel like it's always important.
Well, 100%. Totally agree.
Sorry. Like, but
that's a line item on every spending plan, unless I'm going to be outside during the day the whole time.
Right.
But do you think with one or the other that there is even more importance to
greenery, lighting? For sure.
Greenery.
Greenery gets it because it needs that extra pop that flowers are already bringing to the table, so to speak.
Yes. Because when you're going that route, and Brian, please tell me if I'm wrong, because you are going to know better. But I feel like in order for greenery in a building to show its true texture and any kind of shade differential, it has to be broken up with lighting. If you're not doing it with blooms.
No, I agree.
Like it will, once it gets to that dim, dark spot, it's just going to look dim, dark there.
Unless, it just fades away.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen so many times, and I'm just saddened that, you know, that item was cut from a budget because the lighting being that item. And it just really makes a difference.
Yes. And so let us be experts for you right now that if you do go this route with all greenery, you have to, you really, really have to consider, we are telling you now, lighting has to be a consideration.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean just plug-in lighting. Like if you don't necessarily always have to do plug-in lighting. And by plug-in, I mean like,
we did wireless. Yeah.
Wireless.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Jacob and Co. came in our wedding and did all of it, you know.
Which is great.
Yeah. But candlelight can do a lot. It can go really, really far, but not the way that pin spotting or ambient lighting can do in a space from overhead. Exactly.
All of those layers combined, the candlelight, the pin spotting, the ambient light, it just creates an overall feeling that you can't put your finger on it, but you know you're getting a a better visual of everything somehow. It's, for me, that's how it feels anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
One other place that I want to talk about before we wrap this up, Brian, yeah. is with bouquets.
Yeah.
And boutonnieres.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like more often than not, people walk into it thinking, well, of course there has to be blooms there. But that's not always the case. Am I right? That there is opportunity
in a bouquet?
For you.
Yeah.
In bouquet and boutonnieres. I want to make sure we cover both.
Oh, yes. Of course. Mm-hmm. So especially, I mean, it's easier to illustrate through a boutonniere that just a collection of greenery of different types makes a really super nice, cute boutonniere where you just layer in elements of different sizes, different textures, and even different colors, depending on what your overall is for that. So you don't need a flower there. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. You just don't need a flower there in your boutonniere. And your bouquet can be the same feeling where you're just layering those colors against each other, those shades and textures. And a talented designer is the one to get to do that for sure, because they'll get it right. They'll get it so it looks beautiful in a photograph, as opposed to someone that doesn't do that all the time and is just putting greenery together for the sake of doing it. The effect is going to be completely different. So,
and guys, if you're as we're saying this, you're like, okay, I'm going to go on Pinterest and look for this. Just know that some of these things are going to be more difficult to find because they happen so much more rarely. So, but know that if you go to a really good quality floral designer, they either may have a picture, or they might have to sketch it out, or they may have to pull greenery out of their coolers and say, something like this.
Right.
Or, you know, like, or, and they may not be able to show you at all. It might have to be like, you know, that you trust them, that this is going to work, that this is actually, because everyone is in this to be successful for you. Yeah. They want you to love what you give them.
Absolutely. Every time. Yeah. Every time.
All right. So bouquets, though, can be full greenery or greenery accented by some flowers or vice versa. It's all just blooms or blooms.
Yeah, totally.
Accented by greenery.
Mm-hmm. It just, I would try not to use, if you're using a lot of blooms, don't use too much greenery, because then it becomes a battle where you look like you're holding a beautiful flower bouquet that has a skirt of, say, greenery on it. Those drive me nuts. One drives me nuts. Let's just say that, because I don't make them that way.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. I love that you called it a skirt. You know, you said a word earlier that you were the first person that ever said it, and I don't know if someone else came up with it, but in my head, Brian coined it. And for as many hundreds of tent weddings as I have done, I never heard this word. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like the perfect word. Tentrance.
Yes.
Why? How have I gone 19 years and not heard that word? Did you come up with that word?
I don't know. I'm not sure that I did. I'm almost 100% that I did not. But I have certainly made it a calling card, and it goes into proposals that way too.
Yes. I love it. I love it. So for anyone who is having a tent wedding, a tentrance is the where you actually want your guests to come into the wedding, how that area is decorated with your blooms or greenery.
Right.
Right? Like it's where everyone walks in. Not necessarily blooms. I mean, you might have a draping kind of deal.
Yes.
It could be branches. It could be trees.
Yes, it can be trees. I've seen many trees that way. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can do this, guys. But what I'm just saying is a tentrance is where you want everyone to walk into your tent. If it's a fully open tent, you could walk in from any spot. But it's so wonderful to actually be like, here are the quote unquote doors to this area.
Absolutely. Without saying go this way, it's quite obvious where you're supposed to go. Yeah.
Absolutely that. Ryan, this has been so good. Is there anything that you think that we're missing out on with this?
No, topic? I mean, I just love this freeform format. So yeah, I'm good.
It's great, right? Because yeah. we can really talk about all things in there, but I feel like, you know, in the end it helps, you know, like, and this is maybe not a decision that anyone was trying to make necessarily, but know that there's the opportunity to go one way or the other,
yes.
or what you're up against with one way or the other.
Yeah. There's a lot of information there. And I'm sure I'll think of 20 other things that we didn't discuss that, you know, will come up, but that's part of discovery.
Well, we might have to do a part two in season
part two.
Four.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Brian, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Love working with you. I think you're so creative and I hope we get to do it again. So
you're
it was
an
great,
absolute great. Treat. Yeah. It's wonderful. Right. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for coming on the episode. Appreciate you.
Okay, you bet. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm so glad to be able to share my wedding experiences and expertise with you, and that my co-hosts are so giving of theirs. We truly do want you to have the best time at your wedding, and our hope is that this podcast is helping you to make your engagement time while planning your wedding that much easier. May I ask a favor of you if this is the case? Would you just take a moment to leave a review of this podcast on your listening platform? It helps people just like you to find the podcast and to also find out their answers so they can make decisions. I would also absolutely love for you to give This Versus That podcast a shout out on your social media. You can find us at This Versus That Wedding Podcast on Instagram. And if you would like me to help you with a specific question, a wedding decision, please, by all means, ask. Send me a DM. I would love to hear from you. And maybe, just maybe even have you as a wedding guest on a future episode. How fun. Here's to another great wedding.